But you sound a little bit different when you speak Bulgarian. Not because the language different.
Right.
It's where your voice is.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little bit more nasal when you speak English as well.
When you speak Bulgarian, you use different muscles, yeah. I feel. And if I went back to Bulgaria for 3 months, and when I come back, the first week, I literally get some pain in my jaw just because you speak in a different way. Like, both your throat and your jaw are moving in a different way when you speak English.
Yeah.
And so it's like any muscle, you know, you lose some of it if you're not using it. And even people back home have told me that for the first few days or so when I come back after a long time away, I have a bit of an accent in Bulgarian, like an English thing that you can notice. So I have an accent in all my languages that I speak.
Hello, welcome to Comedy with an Accent podcast. I'm your Taiwanese comedian, Quan Wen. I interview comedians who perform English stand-up comedy but who are not native English speakers, or they can have a very distinct British regional accent. This podcast is all about comedy, about accent, about languages, and about the comedy technique. So stay tuned if you're interested.
What do I do, Martin? This is so I hate this so much.
I think if you can get it kind of like mine, so a bit back and then that would fold down.
Yeah, and I'm still sounding clear now. I think I can't even louder. Hello, welcome back to another episode of Comedy with an Accent podcast. I am in the new studio for the first time with someone else because I came here to do a monologue episode on my own. Without further ado, I'm going to introduce a credit of this comedian. I think he's so far the only Bulgarian professional comedian on the British comedy circuit. He has been in numerous comedy competition for new act when he was newish. He won the Comedy Store King Kong. He was in the final of, I think, Leicester Square Theater, New Comedian of the Year. You did the stand-up get-up competition. You did the one to watch by Up the Cree, etc., etc. Please welcome my guest today. That's Martin Durchov from Bulgaria.
Hello. Thanks for having me. Yeah, that's great. Wow, I haven't thought about these credits in a very long time. It's been a while since. Yeah, so you think you're funny as well? I think
actually that's the most important one.
I think that's the only one that means absolutely anything, and everything else has been absolutely pointless. But it got me stage time, so, you know.
You may be getting spots at some of those venues, or maybe you shouldn't describe those as pointless.
I mean, Leicester Square Theatre does not book me personally, so...
Well, they book shows.
But everyone else can... F off.
So let me recap. I started this podcast in springtime 2022, and we are now in early 2025. So I guess 3 years ago, I put a lot more focus and emphasis on the guests, whether they were in a competition, whether they're in the final, whether they won it. But the longer I've been doing this, I don't think a lot of people care about it. Whether a comedian is solid and carries a unique point of view is something slightly more interesting. Mm-hmm. Also, Martin and I have been talking about doing this podcast for a very long time.
Pretty much since
2022. Yes, 2023. Yeah, I was still running the live show and you messaged me asking for a spot. And I say, would you want to do the podcast at the same time? He said, sure. But then I was off. I put a pause on the podcast for season one. Mm-hmm. And then I said, we'll talk about when I start season two. And I had a slight mental breakdown. So it's not about him, it's about me. And the podcast got delayed. And when we started, I said, I haven't seen you live for so long. I feel like I need to watch your life before, and our calendar just don't sync. So it's not until last month I finally saw Martin live again at the Immigrant Comedy Show in Camden. Now, Martin, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Thanks for having me. In life and in comedy, things are going well, so yeah.
Okay, small talk ended. Did you go any much further? Let's go straight into my default question. Martin, do you think you have an accent when you speak English?
I definitely have an accent.
Yes.
In fact, my very first kind of opening joke usually is whatever I'm performing, I say, oh, you know, it's a pleasure to be here because, you know, I grew up here and this is where I'm originally from. And people immediately laugh because it's so obvious that I am absolutely not from there, just based on my accent.
At one of the clips I watched on YouTube, you say to people, I'm from Greenwich.
Yeah.
And you are obviously not from Greenwich. Yep. That's a joke.
It has never not gotten a laugh. Mm. And I think that that's a testament to the fact that, yeah, I definitely have an accent and people would never assume that I am from
wherever they're from. It's so obviously untrue, that statement, and the fact that you can just say it. Yeah, exactly. It's funny to them.
Yeah, it's something that maybe the first couple of years that I was in the UK, I didn't realize. And you, as a person with an accent as well, I don't know if you feel the same way. In your own head, it doesn't sound like you're speaking with an accent, does it?
Before I did comedy, I rarely listened to my own voices. So I would suspect rationally less an accent, but it's not as strong as I thought it is.
Yeah.
So there is a difference. I agree in principle. In my case, I do think I have an accent, but I just didn't realize the accent can be that strong. Horrifically strong.
I genuinely thought for the first like year at least, I thought that I have barely any accent, if any at all. I would speak to people and they would ask me where I'm from. I would always be like so surprised because
I would think, tell I'm not
yeah,
from
how
here.
How do you know that I'm not from here? Is it something about the way I look?
So is it because in Bulgaria, back in Bulgaria, when you speak English, your accent is considered light or almost non-existent by fellow Bulgarians?
No, I think it was just purely just being delusional. I honestly don't know where it came from. When I was in university here, I had people from overseas in my class who did not really have a strong accent. And I thought, oh, that's probably how I sound as well. I did not sound like that whatsoever.
Well, does your family have the equal amount of wealth compared to those people?
Definitely
because they probably
not.
Went to international school. So if your dad and mom never send you on to international school, chances are you're not going to sound like that.
I mean, absolutely not.
Being a non-native English speaker with a perfect accent typically carry a little bit of privilege and is a sign of the family's sort of wealth and social economic status or purchasing power.
Yeah.
But you mentioned that you would joke about your accent and say you're from a place in the UK where obviously you're not from. Mm. You have an alternative way. You kind of just acknowledge. I like watch the clips and then you would say, I know I don't sound like I'm from here. I'm from Bulgaria. You go straight into it. So there's a pattern. When you perform, you always acknowledge you're foreign and you always talk about your accent right away. What made you do that? Have you thought about it when you started?
Yeah, when I started, I don't think I was doing a lot of jokes about being from Bulgaria. If you watch, I mean, again, that's like very early sets, maybe like first 10 sets that I ever performed. Most of my jokes are quite dark. It's more shock value. And that's probably, yeah, because I didn't know how to write a joke or what to talk about. But I didn't talk about being Bulgarian for a while. And then I kind of found out over time, maybe it's a good idea to address some of this, just because I feel like if an audience has a question in mind, even if it's not actually like consciously thinking about it, it distracts them from the jokes because they're thinking like, okay, you know, this is funny, but I don't know why you sound like this and I don't know where you're from. And giving them a little bit of context, I think, puts them at ease and helps with just the whole set going a bit smoother. And so even if I'm doing jokes that have nothing to do with Bulgaria, maybe new material, whatever, I always have to do at least literally like 30 seconds off the top, just do one or two jokes about being Bulgarian, get out of the way, and people go, oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
Do what you're going to do.
You say that if you don't explain your accent, the audience will still be preoccupied with the thought, thinking where you're from. But how did you realize that? Is it other comics share the tip or did you talk to them afterwards? Like, there must be a reason they realize this trick in the book. And question is, when you were new, how did you realize that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I am sure someone would have mentioned something to me, like 100%. Like I have kind of just the memory of someone telling me, but I can't pinpoint exactly when and who it was. But I'm sure someone did say, oh, it's good to mention kind of obvious things. And even before the accent, you probably have heard this joke as well. I talk about my arm hair. Like it's a thing that's been in the set since very early on. Mm. And that came about kind of the same way. I was on stage and I could tell that people were slightly distracted by something. And one of the other comedians came up to me and he was like, you know, the whole time I couldn't stop looking at your arms. Like, you should do a joke that, I don't know, you're like Robin Williams or something like that. I don't know what he said. It was something really stupid, but it did make me realize that people pay attention to something they've noticed and it's good to address it so that they're not distracted.
Okay.
And I think it's the same thing with the accent. People kind of in conversation would bring it up sometimes. And I think that's how it came about.
To be fair, though, I agree with the principle that you need to make jokes about the obvious thing. But if I see a comedian, he has hairy arm, it doesn't really distract me. So I think when I brought it up with you, that guy's a perv. All right? He just
know what ideas that guy had in mind, but I agree with principle. So someone say that you need to address the obvious, but it's not like, dude, you need to talk about your accent. It's not specific like that.
Yeah, but also, as you observed, that a lot of the international comedians in the UK do mention it off the top, you know? So I probably have gotten a bit of influence from that as well, just seeing others kind of address it. Over the years, I feel like some of my strongest jokes are kind of around me being Bulgarian. Maybe not so much about the accent. The Bulgarian stuff, I think it's some of the strongest, most consistent material. And the accent thing is actually a very obvious way into that material. Mm-hmm. So I feel like they kind of go hand in hand.
Okay. A question is a bit broad, but based on your observation, what does Bulgaria mean to British people over the years? Because you kind of make that as you go along. Like, you can say anything about Bulgaria and rarely will someone challenge you. And they just have to take what you say at face value. And if they think that, oh, that sounds a bit stupid, maybe there's a joke, but they won't challenge you. You can invent anything you like.
Yeah, that's a very good idea, actually. People have a few stereotypes about Bulgaria, and usually they get very closely packed together with Romania. Like, if you hear Bulgaria for British people, it's like Bulgaria, Romania, that region type of thing. I think the first thing, yeah, it's like immigrants, and usually it's like cheap labor or people that work in the field or something in the summer for a few months, you know. And I don't know if we have like a lot of really positive kind of things associated with the country. People have heard usually about Bulgaria being very corrupt as a country, yeah.
Is that a general Balkan thing or is it more of a Bulgaria specific?
I think it's a Balkan thing, definitely, but as a Bulgarian, I have to say...
Let's drag everyone else down at the same time.
Yeah, no, I mean, the whole area is like not doing well, but I think as a proud Bulgarian, I would say we have it the worst.
About two-thirds of listeners who listen to the podcast are not from the UK, and quite a good chunk are from North America. So what happened is there is a strand of what we call the East European comedians, and there is a very generic understanding of East European in the UK because in 2004, 10 countries joined the European Union and 7 or 8 of them are in what we call the old East Europe. And in the first wave included Lithuania, Poland and Slovakia, etc. But at that time, Bulgaria was deemed not meeting the criteria of joining. So in 2004, European Union said to Romania and Bulgaria, said, guys, you're just too corrupt, so you can't join right now. So these two, why they are bonded together? Because these two had to wait 3 more years and join in 2007. So when the East European strand of comedians started, you would have Polish comedians talking about, oh, I'm here to do your wooden cabinet. I'm here as your labor. And that's the stereotype. But we are 20 years after that. And nowadays, Poland is not considered poor enough. So after a while, you notice those immigrants show has migrated from Polish comedian to Romanian comedians and Bulgarian comedian. But there are slightly more Romanian comedians, I believe, in the UK. Because they're also a bigger country with a bigger population.
They are. I don't know if it's directly related to that. I mean, definitely the population size must be a thing. But also, I feel like Romania had basically stand-up quite early on, and they had some comedians that were kind of famous in Romania. And I think that must have influenced some of the people coming to the UK that then started doing stand-up here.
You're saying that back in Bulgaria, stand-up wasn't really a thing, even in Bulgarian language?
Not until quite recently. I think there's quite a big stand-up culture now. I know there is one really big club in Bulgaria.
Yeah.
I know they do nights in English as well sometimes, but also a lot of nights in Bulgarian. And I know they tour Bulgaria and they do like stadiums and, you know, like they're big and it's quite popular. But I think that only started about probably less than 10 years ago. So I don't know if before that, you know, we have some programs on TV where there'll be comedians that do jokey material, but it's not exactly stand-up. But yeah, definitely more Romanian comedians than Bulgarians.
Let's pull back a little bit to that old sort of in general stereotype. They don't know much about Bulgaria, but they recognize it's one of the East European country.
Yeah.
And you basically present an image of the country that's poorer. People came here to do jobs that local population doesn't want to do. And then you have the perception of corruption or crime. Mm. All the jokes you will use in your material. If today someone is running a show, specifically all East European, all migrants, and everyone before or after you would be from the East Europe
block.
Yeah.
So there's a chance some of them would do similar joke theme or material that yours cover.
Yeah.
So there's a risk that your joke would come across a bit repetitive if you go on after them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you feel in that scenario if you're on a lineup of full Eastern Euro comedian?
I have asked myself that question in the past. My material used to be like more about Bulgaria, and I would have more things about stereotypes, about like more about the crime side of Bulgaria and do some jokes about that. But I found that even within my own set, it kind of felt repetitive, even if it's different stereotypes and different kind of jokes about them. It still feels like, okay, we get it. We have some kind of preconceptions about Bulgaria and you are making fun of that, but it feels like it's almost the same joke because it has the same structure.
Mm. So can you give me an example of a joke? You kind of think of ditching, but it works still quite well, so you haven't fully ditched it yet.
There is one joke that has been in the set for a very long time, which is I say there are stereotypes about Bulgaria, and I'm aware of that. But despite that, people are quite welcoming. They don't bring it up much. Now and then, some drunk guy might come up and be like, oh, are you going to fix my pipes?
Mm.
First of all, f*** you. And second of all, yes, I can fix your pipes. And that kind of usually gets a reaction. But I'm not too happy with that joke. First of all, it's been around for way too long. And yeah, it's basically that thing about the stereotypes, about, you know, yeah, we're here for cheap labor type of thing. And I'm almost kind of just using, again, it's shock. So that's probably one joke that I've been kind of thinking about possibly cutting.
Yeah. Let me give you an example of what I say, like the chances some jokes might overlap. This is no criticism of any I mentioned, but if I imagine you on a lineup, if Vlad was just before you and Filip Kozlewski is somewhere in the first section. So comedy works when you revert the audience expectation. And when you're sitting in front of the rather progressive liberals, people believe that we shouldn't say all immigrants are here as thieves or want to steal jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, when you say that, well, actually, I'm here to steal jobs, so that you're reverting the expectation. But that joke is what Vlad would have done. So let's say if you're on the lineup and Vlad got on and he did that joke, would you change your material afterwards?
I probably would. I've been in that situation, actually. I mean, I used to play a lot with Vlad because we started at pretty much the same time and we had a similar trajectory. So I saw him around quite a lot. There's like a few other people, Polish acts I used to see quite a lot.
Oh, just for information, Vlad, we talk about is Vlad Ilic, a comedian from North Macedonia. It was episode, I can't remember, 13 or 12 of the second season.
Yeah, that's the one.
And I deliberately mentioned Vlad because he's from North Macedonia, which has a funny relationship with Bulgaria, but we'll cover it later. Okay, so you've been in that situation before. You've been on the same lineup with Vlad before. Also from a Balkan, East European country. And
yeah. I would change the material. There will be jokes that I don't do. And I would observe, if he goes on before me, I would observe what kind of jokes he will do to know what to cut and what I can kind of keep. But yeah, it really depends. I'm pretty sure that it has gone both ways, where I have gone on before him and he's gone on before me. And then it really depends on that who will do better. Like the first act usually does better. Yeah, there was some competition where he went on just before me and he went through. And I'm not saying that I deserve to go through or someone was better or not. He totally deserves every success that's come his way. But yeah, I mean, I went on after him and I got pretty much nothing because I couldn't really use any of my...
Some of your A material is going to be reduced to BC material because the shock value has already been achieved by the previous act.
Yeah, it immediately goes away. But I had it the other way back in the day when, what is his name? The Russian guy, Kissin, he has a super famous podcast now.
Konstantin
yes. Kissin, yeah. Once I was at a competition with him and he was maybe one act before me and he did some references to Eastern Europe or Russia and stuff like that. And I used some of his references in my jokes, like almost kind of throwaway. And that worked really well. And then in that night, I did the best. So it really depends on the night. I think that if the connection is not extremely close in terms of material, even if you're literally from the same country, then I think the audiences will accept that and still laugh. I don't know.
I sometimes forget not everyone goes to watch comedy 2-3 nights a week. They maybe go to like 2-3 comedy shows a year. So sometimes I will see someone's material and I just feel I've seen so many times before. But for the audience, that's absolutely fine. I'll give you one example. You have a joke about Bulgaria's search for talent.
You've watched so
the show in the UK is called Britain's Got Talent, and you say, well, in Bulgaria, because you're joking about obvious, it's a much smaller country,
yeah,
and you guys are running out of talent. But Filip Kozlevsky has a very similar joke. He's from Slovenia. Slovenia's an even smaller country, and he then say that we have a show called Slovenia Got Talent. This is parallel thinking, and the shows exist. So that makes me think when I watch you perform, I'm much more excited when you start to joke about the hair, because that's very specifically about you,
yeah,
from you. Because the other joke can be done by any other Bulgarian.
Mm.
And another example being, even in those sort of immigrants joke, you have some takes that's very specific to you, and that for me, that feels more exciting. For example, when you just say that, oh, I'm obviously here to steal your jobs, like so many people would have done something to say, but then you have the line say that last night on the spotlight is the one I would discover crossing the border. And that's something I don't hear quite as often, and that's just a lot more exciting.
Yeah, obviously anything original is always going to be more exciting and funnier. But yeah, about the Bulgaria searches for talent, it's that type of thing where you just sometimes think about something, how it would be translated, because the show actually is called that in Bulgarian. That's just funny. Like, it's not made up. The joke is not based on us being a smaller country or we don't have talent. It literally, the show is just called Searching for Talent. Mm. And here it's called Have Talent, you know, Got Talent. So yeah, it's something that others can and have found as well. And that does make it less exciting. I think more recently, when I write material, I do look for things, as you say, that are more personal to me, things that maybe only I can do or I have like a very unique spin on. Because not only is that funnier generally to watch and more interesting, but also for me, it is much easier to do, like just not getting tired of the same old jokes type of thing. You know, I'm excited about talking about something that's personal to me. Also, once you start finding things that are very, as you say, personal, unique to you, it is easier to write about them as well.
Mm-hmm. But is it partially when you, do you have planned to do an hour or half an hour show? Because it would be difficult. Would you do a whole hour joking about Bulgarian stereotypes?
Oh,
that's going to
no,
be tough.
That would be impossible.
Rewarding for you.
It would not be rewarding. It would not be enjoyable for the audience. It would not be enjoyable for me. I don't think it would be a good show whatsoever. And even on a smaller scale, I have found that it's the same problem. When I was doing a 20 years ago, probably, I don't know, let's say 15 minutes would be about Bulgaria or things related to Bulgaria, even more probably. And then over time, it's been really getting less and less and less. And even if it's, you know, for example, if I talk about my parents, it's not about them being Bulgarian, or maybe that's like my into the joke. Mm. But it's, again, it's like more personal stuff, things that I kind of find funny or things that are just from my past that are not directly tied to Eastern Europe. And that's been growing in size. And so maybe in a 20-minute set, I hope no more than 5 minutes about Bulgaria.
Yeah.
And that's kind of at the top, just me addressing it and doing a few jokes.
But have you been requested to talk more about Bulgaria? I know the comedy store owner likes to tell immigrant acts about that.
Yeah.
Apart from him, anyone else?
No, usually, you know, there's a few promoters that always are like, oh, you know, you didn't do that joke. That's one of my favorites. I love it. But it's usually really hacky jokes. And that's not, if it's gone, it's gone. Like, I'm not going to bring it back just because kind of someone really enjoyed it. But yeah, as you say, the comedy store have told me both ways. The first time I saw Don, I did a set, did 10 minutes. He said, you know, good stuff, but I think you're leaning too much on the Bulgarian stuff. Maybe you should do less Bulgarian stuff. I did another 10, let's say 6 months later. And I thought that that's still my strongest set. So I pretty much did the exact same set. And he was like, oh, I really enjoyed that, but you should talk more about the Bulgarian stuff. And he's like, which of the two do you want? I can't do both.
Give me an example of a joke. It's not something you would do, But if a fellow East European comedian does it, you will find it like, just so hack or so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I used to do jokes like that about the job thing. I used to also say, people ask me, am I here to steal jobs? And yeah, of course I'm here to steal jobs. Otherwise, my whole family would be disappointed or something. I don't even remember
what
it was.
Let's say if that's a lie, whether you do it or other East European acts do it, because I've realized that I sometimes wonder if I overthink, because I'm a comedian. Obviously, I'm not really on a diplomatic mission, right? I'm not academic. I'm not here to correct and provide an accurate portrayal of a certain region. I have the liberty to lie. I have the liberty to have a funny relationship with truth. But at the same time, sometimes I wonder, am I just perpetrating the harmful stereotypes about my race, my country, where I'm from? But is it my job not to do those? If I don't do it, other people would do it. Or does it really matter? Because it's comedy. And I constantly found myself struggling between all these different thoughts. So in that example, what's your take on that?
That's a very deep question. As you say, recently there's been a few Bulgarians coming on the scene. But there wasn't, when I was starting, any other Bulgarians that I was aware of. And so I was a bit more conscious of the fact that, you know, as the, I don't want to say only Bulgarian comedian in the UK, but basically, I don't want to say something that people will take home with them and think that was maybe funny, but also there's a hint of truth in that. So I've always tried to, up to a point, keep my material a bit silly as well, because I'm not trying to make any points. I'm not political in any way. I'm not opinionated in kind of the public eye to do with immigration, or I'm more trying to have fun. If I'm doing jokes that will be involving stereotypes, I would try to, the jokes will have to be a bit more silly and will have to be obviously just poking fun at a stereotype rather than like, oh, that's how we are. I'm more laughing at the fact that people think these things of Bulgaria rather than, oh, look at Bulgaria with all its dirty immigrants and haha, aren't we hilarious? It's more like, this is how you guys think of us. And so this gets me in funny situations type of thing. So I think that's kind of how I've...
Yeah, what you say, I think that's definitely true. And when you say that you try not to be too political, I would say compared to many foreign or immigrant acts I know, you are a little bit gentler towards the British public in that you don't mock British culture, British people as much as some foreign acts do. You don't play around too much on the white guilt. Is that a conscious decision?
It's a good observation. I don't think
Radu is absolutely vicious.
Oh, yeah.
For example, we're talking about fellow Romanian act, and some people really go in deep. So in certain cases, when the audience not a sort of general metropolitan progressive, it may backfire.
Yeah.
And you are a lot gentler.
Oh, much gentler. Yeah, definitely. I don't do it on purpose. But again, I think it ties back to me being a bit more silly in my act. And not silly in the way, I think that my persona on stage and just generally when I do jokes, I don't know if silly is the only word to describe it, but you know, I'm a bit more cheerful. I'm a bit smiley, cheeky. Maybe is a way to describe it.
Yeah, but cheeky not in a British way. Because this, I'm gonna come to this point. I've noticed, like, opposite the stereotype people have on East European man, which is a bit manner thing.
Yeah,
not a lot of facial expression, not a lot of emotions. Yeah. You are a very giggly person.
Yeah, extremely giggly.
You're giggly like Charlie Brown. I don't know how to describe it. Actually, your facial feature. Right, you say you're balding, you're strong, you're hairy, but you're very giggly, and that is such a big contrast.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. That's exactly what I'm kind of trying to describe it. That's just how I am on stage in real life as well. Like, I'm not a tough guy. I laugh easy, and I think it's very easy for me also to sometimes do a really dark joke or a really shock value joke because I'm so giggly and because the whole act is kind of silly and smiley. People don't take anything seriously and I can get away with more stuff.
So you are aware this likable, geekly persona is your cushion.
Definitely. Early on, a fellow comedian you might know, Luke Dawson.
He just won the... I forgot to say, it's also quite funny, Martin was in the final of British Comedian of the Year.
Yeah, British Comedian of the Year.
Which Luke Dawson was the winner.
Yeah, Luke, who is a good friend of mine, was the winner, absolutely deservedly. And we traveled the whole way to Liverpool and back together. So that was like a 12-hour car ride. But early on, he was kind of like a mentor to me and he did help me realize being more friendly and giggly on stage and just how I come across. That's a big strength, and that I can use that to get some darker ideas through.
What do you mean by darker ideas?
Well, I have a joke where I joke about my parents, the fact that they live together and they work together and they're very codependent. Mm. That worries me because if one of them passes away, I might have to go back to Bulgaria and kill the other one. That's kind of the joke. And that could be like considered like kind of dark, or some people might kind of react shocked and stuff. But it always gets like a good reaction because I'm so giggly and I say it kind of, it's a silly thing that I just kind of say and nobody thinks that I'm being serious or...
Have you always been this giggly or have you changed your style at some point?
Yeah, no, always been giggly. And I think it used to come from a place of stage fright or like just being excited.
Oh, just by giggling yourself, it sort of lessened the nerve.
I think so, yeah. Early on. But now I don't feel nervous on stage, like especially the last couple of years. It gets better and better. Even if it's not going that well, I can still feel very comfortable on stage. And that completely just changes the reaction of the audience as well. I think that I've been getting much better reactions because they can tell that I'm comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But I am still giggly. I think that it is also just who I am when I tell jokes.
Okay.
I find my jokes really funny when I say them on stage because it's like, oh, this is just a stupid thing that I say all the time.
Do you think your lingering accent, is that a strong accent or is it a mild accent?
Well, if those are the two options, I think I would be closer to strong.
You're the one called the strong.
Yeah.
I think your accent hasn't actually mellowed over the years.
It has. I mean, I've been here almost 10 years. So.
Yeah, but you know, some people are immune to the environment. They strong. I'll give you an example because you have a joke, you make similar references. And before the pandemic, when you mentioned Windsor, you actually say Windsor.
Windsor.
And then the same set. So one was in 2019 and you did the same set in 2023 and you mentioned Windsor.
Oh, wow. I used to have a joke about the Queen. Yeah.
Yes, yes. But one sound you don't change is, for example, you know it's pronounced as culture, but when you say Bulgaria, you wouldn't say Bulgaria, you still say Bulgaria. I think that's from how you pronounce it in Bulgarian.
Yeah. Yeah,
your accent has mellowed because I was watching clips of you before and after the pandemic, and the accent shift was actually quite noticeable.
Wow. I mean, kudos for digging so far back.
No, you don't have a lot of information. You have done zero podcasts before?
No.
You have so few. On your YouTube channel, you just have one Gong Show video.
Yeah.
And all the other videos people can find about you is because you involuntarily had them. So it's
from very far, far back, yeah.
Yeah.
You should have asked. I have videos that I...
No, but was it planned? Was it intentional to limit your social media exposure?
Yeah.
Even your Instagram profile still looks very much like a personal profile.
It is. I don't post anything to do with comedy. I often get a bit annoyed when promoters are asking me to share kind of their night because I have no influence. I have no people that would come because of me. I'm not trying to as well. Before the pandemic, 2019, I was starting to get some really good spots and starting to feel like I'm on the come up. There was some buzz. Some people were talking about me. Some people were booking me just because they heard from someone else that I'm doing well. I felt like, oh, maybe I can be like a comedian full time or, you know, started growing. But then the pandemic happened and I just got this big feeling of relief. I felt like I have my nights back and I felt really good for a very long time, for literally years until I started doing it again.
How long was the break? Did you have like...
About three years. Yeah.
3 years.
Yeah.
That's
because
exactly when I was quite... I wouldn't say shocked because you keep in mind of people's name and people come, people go. But you started in 2017 and by 2018, you were in a lot of major competitions finals. So you were doing really well. We did a show in Foxton together, you remember?
Yeah, absolutely.
We were both doing 10s.
The middles,
and then when I restarted again, 21 or 22, I just wondered, where's Martin Durchov? Yeah. I've heard from that guy for a while. Has he decided not to do comedy?
Yeah.
What happened in that 3 year period?
I was just kind of focused on my day job. It was COVID. I didn't feel like going out much. And I don't know, I just got comfortable not doing it. As I said, there was some relief of just not having to pursue it because I was literally doing basically a show every night and some nights multiple shows and just constantly trying to get ahead, get more stage time. And so after those 3 years, I had still a spot with the Comedy Store that kept getting moved because of the pandemic and other lockdowns and stuff. And it felt wrong to cancel on the Comedy Store. So I was like, maybe I'm going to do this comedy store spot and it's going to be my last spot ever. Oh. It's going to be a nice goodbye to comedy. I invited a good friend of mine, Hubert, a fellow comedian. We had a lovely night. We were just chatting shit about comedy. I had a really good set. We hung out with some other people in the green room. It was just like comedians hanging out. And it reminded me, oh, this is a big part of why I used to do it. I love being around comedians. I love just chatting shit about comedy.
Oh, so it's that one last drug.
Yeah.
That was delayed by COVID and you have the honor of the deal.
Well, yeah, basically.
Okay, so then you decided to come back doing gigs again, but why no social media?
Yeah. So when I came back, I decided this is what I enjoy, the hanging out and all of that. I don't enjoy chasing some place to be or some standard.
Totally.
Yeah, the progression, as you put it. So I decided I'm not doing it in that way anymore. I'm only going to do shows where I enjoy being there. Mm-hmm. I enjoy the people that I will be working with. Maybe it's like a club that I really like. It's something that's not going to be really stressful because sometimes you get booked to do some really weird show, like some pub in the middle of nowhere, and there's like 13 people show up. Even though they're paying, you're really struggling. And then it's a 3-hour train journey away and you're like super depressed on the way home. I wanted to avoid all of that. I feel the same way about social media. It's great that it's working for some people. And it's definitely the new way for comedians to get seen, get your own audience. You don't even have to go through the circuit anymore. But I knew that that's not what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for my own audiences and touring the UK. I am not looking, you know, for kind of people seeing my comedy online. I'm not trying to get my comedy across. My comedy is a tool for me to go hang out with other comedians and to like have enjoyable nights of having performed. So it's not about who has seen my joke, you know, someone from the other side of the world.
So when we talk about career planning, your career would be mostly your daytime job.
Yeah, I have kind of given up on becoming a full-time comedian. I would very much like to, you know, get better credits, better shows.
But
and
just
do
to
better.
Make people aware that he is doing spots that full-time comedians, some of them don't necessarily get. So I just thought, quite humble. You know? He was just making a personal choice.
Yeah. I mean, if I really tried hard for the next 6 months or something, I probably could pull off being a full-time comedian. You know, I would have to really cut my budget because I do have a nice day job that pays me well. So I don't see a strong reason to give it up unless I start getting like actual TV work, and it takes a lot of hard work.
It is your decision. You're going to treat it as, say, a tool to hang out with comedians.
Yeah.
But how do I say this? This is coming from me, a comedian from another small country. Actually, I was shocked when I looked up the population of Bulgaria. In 2011, there were about 6.7 million Bulgarian speakers. But when I checked the latest stat, it's like 6 point something. I said, what? And your population has shrunk from over 8 million in the
90s
to 6 million right now.
Yeah,
due to the fact people migrating and people dying and population is quite old. So Bulgaria is a small country. And I wonder whether there are any Bulgarians, they are so excited to see you here in the UK because they feel seen. It's like, oh my God, there's one of ours standing on stage performing in a foreign language to all these people. So even though you were making jokes, they get a vague idea of Bulgaria.
Yeah.
Taiwan is small. Whenever I do that, I know some Taiwanese people get very excited. So has that never encouraged you to push a little bit further?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. First of all, yeah, you are right. The population used to be much bigger. I mean, much bigger. It still was like tiny compared to, I don't know, the UK.
Yeah, but you lost like 20%.
Yeah, but when I was a kid, we used to, in school, learn that the population is around 7 million. And someone recently was asking me, and I was like, oh yeah, it's 7 million. And they were
6.4.
Like, no, it's not.
6.4.
Yeah, and yeah, even I think it might have been even less because I was looking at some census and it was like around 6 maybe now. I think it's the fastest declining population in Europe. So yeah, we're but does that make me
push
harder?
It's gonna be a beep for that. Just let you know.
Oh, sorry, I'll stop swearing. By the way, yeah, sorry, I keep doing that. And yeah, you should have said that. I think
that's not right.
A few times,
it's
like,
very easy.
Oh no, I dropped a few F bombs earlier. You have to edit those. Sorry. And to your question, every time there's been a Bulgarian in the audience, you've had the same experience, I imagine. They feel compelled to come see you. They are so excited. It's a really, you know, it's a great thing for them. And I think for Bulgaria, as you say, especially because they are so few of us, and it's quite rare to see quite a few
Romanian comedians here and there. And so, oh, finally,
yeah,
someone yeah. who's from East Europe but from Bulgaria. This is kind of excitement. I would say a Canadians wouldn't get. I was like, how's the Canadians act in the UK? There are quite a few of them, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's true. Yeah, and it definitely gets a reaction. But not in a very specific Bulgarian thing. I think it's just people recognizing people from their own country. And it's always the same thing, you know, like, oh, this is so great you're doing this. I recognize a lot of the jokes and the topics you're talking about. And the usual, like, oh, you're so brave for doing this. I can't imagine doing this. But it's not like that. I don't see it as something.
I feel like my question has special. Caused a ripple in your emotions. You weren't seeing this question coming, and you're now remembering the actual reaction you had.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, no, I definitely didn't expect it. But I'm just thinking of many people that I've met kind of over the years that were Bulgarian, and it's always like a very positive interaction. But I still don't think that it's had like an influence on my drive to become kind of known in comedy. I have thought about the fact that if I were to do some TV, I imagine that would make the news in Bulgaria, which would be really fun. Yeah, I don't know why. It's just, I feel like I would be more excited if I made a name for myself in Bulgaria than in the UK, just because, you know.
Have you not tried to do some comedy when you were back in Bulgaria visiting your parents?
I've never done stand-up in Bulgaria or in Bulgarian, and I'm terrified. I feel like maybe now that I talk about Bulgaria less, it will be easier to do.
Yeah.
Because back in the day, it would have been like just Bulgarian stuff. And I think they would have hated it. It would have been like, why are you telling us? Yeah, we know about this. Yeah, we live in it. Yeah.
So let's say your tracksuit joke, the Bulgarians will not enjoy that.
I think that they would enjoy it, but they would probably be like, yeah, we know this, you know, like, yeah. Yeah, we wear tracksuits to weddings. What's so funny about that, you know?
Obviously, everyone is different, but recording with you specifically, even though there's an accent, the fact that you're Bulgarian doesn't really matter that much. Like,
right.
Because yeah. a different foreign or immigrant comedian, some would really put the identity of an immigrant, of a foreigner, really, really specific. And I do some of that, but I would talk about being gay a lot. But you are just a comedian who likes jokes, who likes to enjoy doing comedy. And you kind of do, you know, you have an accent. So all the thing about Bulgaria you do is like admin.
Yeah, it really is.
Putting that aside, it doesn't...
If you ask me to kind of describe myself, I wouldn't, like, the first thing, I wouldn't say I'm Bulgarian. You know, that wouldn't be the first thing I go to. And not because I want to lose some connection to Bulgaria or something. You know, I am proud to be Bulgarian and I grew up there and have, like, a lot of connection to Bulgaria. But it's not something that influences my day-to-day. And because I've been here a while, as you say, it doesn't seep through in conversation. It doesn't, it's not something that...
You are very settled.
I feel, I mean...
You're a very settled immigrant, and I think it could do with the fact that you live in London and you're surrounded by people who themselves may be immigrants or who are quite open-minded. And I think in my case, for example, even though I've been to the UK 20 years, maybe because I'm a different ethnicity, I mentally kept a distance myself.
Mm.
So the fact that I feel different and foreign, that still means a lot to me. And I see myself like that. Mm. I'm not saying this is better, but I notice it's different between us.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're very settled. And I wonder whether you've come across, how to say, like, less off-putting or uncomfortable experiences with locals, or because things happen to me that constantly remind me I do not belong here.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. It was like every 1 or 2 years, there will be some sort of annoying incident. So, for example, kids throw juice can at me or people egg my head, things like that.
Oh, my God.
Or the other day, I was just minding my own business and two drunk guys in front of me start talking to each other and A say to B there, they are just so humble, aren't they? And he say that in front of me.
Oh.
And this kind of thing every now and then reminds me I do not belong here.
Yeah.
And I wonder whether it's because of the fact that you may be an immigrant, but when you don't speak, no one would suspect
no.
You're not from here.
That's what I was going to say next, that I think that I'm just a white straight guy, and I don't think I have extremely defining Eastern European features. So
what is a defining?
Yeah, I don't know.
Are you talking about the nose?
I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying you're not going to trick me. No, I think there are certain people that just... I don't know, if you just meet them, you might have like an inkling that they're from somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, I have blue eyes, for example, which are kind of rare in Eastern Europe, stuff like that.
I didn't notice. I don't even notice now that you mentioned.
Yeah. But if I keep my mouth shut, people can assume I'm from anywhere. I've been all over the world.
You're a generic European man. You can't be from any corner in Europe.
I've been spoken to in so many different languages. Assuming that I'm from wherever they are from. My partner is from Slovakia, and I was visiting once her family. We went water skiing during the day, and this Slovak guy just walked up to me and started talking to me in Slovak, and I just kept nodding, and he kept talking, and then I was like, yeah, you know.
Did you understand anything?
I mean, I understand Slovak a little bit, maybe like 30%, but I didn't know what he was talking about. He was speaking to me as if I'm from there, you know, he was speaking very fast. I was like, yeah, yeah, you know, like,
yeah, and then you're not wearing tracksuits, so on stage, only because you have to speak, the accent is the only way people notice that, oh, you may not be from the UK.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. So I've had a slightly different experience. And also, I feel like I'm very adaptable. I don't hold on to things from growing up. I don't have too many connections to Bulgaria in the UK, which is not a good thing or a bad thing. It's just so it happened that way. Because I know that some people, like friends of mine that went to other universities around the UK, they would be like a Bulgarian society and they would hang out with a lot of other Bulgarians, kind of keep the connection alive, speak a lot of Bulgarian. So their accents were also stronger. But I didn't really have that. There wasn't too many Bulgarians.
In general, are Bulgarians more likely to stay together or do their own thing? So, for example, when you look at the immigrants, Italians tend to stay together and Germans don't like to... Right. Be with other Germans.
Yeah, yes.
Okay. Is there a general pattern for Bulgarians?
I think probably closer to Italians and French people, I've noticed also they stay together. Bulgarians, I think that they usually stay together and form kind of small groups of friends. There's usually like a lot of communities and stuff. But yeah, I haven't become a part of that.
But are you more UK or are you more London? There's a difference though. Are you very adapt and settled in UK or in London?
I think the UK, even in general. Like,
How long have you been here?
I've been here 10 years and I've found myself very comfortable everywhere I go in the UK. Even when I travel for shows and stuff, going to small villages and stuff, when I start speaking, like if I meet someone at the pub after the show or even before the show, at first they might be taken aback a little bit by the fact that I have an accent, but very quickly we can kind of find common ground and talk about things just generally. Yeah. And I've been kind of able to speak to a lot of like British people without the fact that I'm Bulgarian having any impact on the conversation.
Because even when we say you're Bulgarian, you came to UK at such a young age as a student.
Yeah.
Your formative years, some of them still happen in the UK.
Yeah.
A third of your life you spent in the UK.
Oh, woof.
So you know things. You still grew up here and that's part of you.
Yeah.
But I have a suspicion though. Could you say something in Bulgarian now? Just one or two sentences.
Anyway. Yeah, I definitely can, but you have to give me something. I'll be terrible at just improvising what to say. Tell me what to say and I'll say it for you.
Okay, so on the way to this podcast studio, we noticed how run down the infrastructure is.
Oh, wow. Okay. На път към това студио днес забелязахме колко е в каква лоша кондиция е залата.
Okay, it's just a little studiota. Observation. It's not that different, but I think when you speak English, your pitch is higher.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the influence of the American English. Like you sound a bit more, I'll say manly. I don't know how to say it's not a negative, but you sound a little bit different when you speak Bulgarian. Not because the language is different.
Right.
It's where your voice is.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little bit more nasal when you speak English as well.
When you speak Bulgarian, you use different muscles, I feel. And if I went back to Bulgaria for 3 months and when I come back, the first week, I literally get some pain in my jaw just because you speak in a different way. Like both your throat and your jaw are moving in a different way when you speak English.
Yeah.
And so it's like any muscle, you know, you lose some of it if you're not using it. And even people back home have told me that for the first few days or so when I come back after a long time away, I have a bit of an accent in Bulgarian, like an English thing that you can notice. So I have an accent in all my languages that I speak. Like
you spend, immigrant you've spent everywhere. Too many years living in different places, yeah. And you cannot fully escape any of them.
Oh, it's terrible. Yeah.
Okay, this is a weird point, because normally by this point, I will ask the guests whether they want to plug their social media. But we just had this conversation.
Oh, yeah, no. Follow me. I post maybe once a year when I go
Do
on holiday.
Do you want people to follow you on social media at all?
I mean, if they want to, they're not going to see any comedy, but they're absolutely welcome to follow me.
If you want to follow an anti-comedian, when it comes to social media strategy, you want to follow anti-comedian, you can follow Martin.
Yeah, I have a lot of big things coming up, going to Greece later this year and to Thailand, not for comedy, but you're gonna see a lot of great pictures from me.
And if meals. People do want to do that, how do they find you?
Just at Martin Durchev on Instagram, and I don't think I have anything
really
else.
He doesn't care. I hope some of you are lucky enough to catch Martin in real life gig. He doesn't gig that much either. So those of you who do, you are lucky at Infiltrate. That's all I have to ask you. Thank you for coming today.
Well, thanks for having me. I had so much fun. Yeah, as you say, I'm not super active on social media and podcasts and stuff. But I've listened to a few episodes.
When I edit the video from this episode, I would not force him to collab, because that would just ruin the vibe of his Instagram profile.
100%. Yeah. You'd be like, what is this random dude just posting? Yeah, so thanks for having me. I had a lot of fun. And if I'm on social media, you'll be the first person I tell, I promise.
Okay. Right. That's the end of this episode. Please come back, subscribe, and like. Thank you. We're going to go now. Bye.